Next on BYUSN, after a 5-7 football season, how picky are you really going to be about which potential bowl game BYU could play in? Olympic silver medalist Kenneth Rooks joins us from Paris to discuss his race, winning silver, the emotions, and what it means to be an Olympic medalist.
BYU teammates turned Team USA teammates Connor Mance and Clayton Young will share their journey from Provo to Paris in the latest deep blue. And with the NFL season almost here, which Cougars in the NFL will you be paying the closest attention to this preseason?
Welcome to BYU Sports Station, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. That is a Friday show lineup, is it not? August 9th, I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who's still stuck on the latest and greatest social media trend, darts only.
Look, I believe the great philosopher Cousin Eddie from Christmas Vacation said it best. It's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year. Okay? So he was referring to the Jilly of the Month Club. Yes. We're talking about the darts only social. Look at this.
The 4th and 19 fake punt at Boise.
It was the funniest part about the whole thing was before I had even clicked play on it, I knew exactly how this was going to play out, and it made me laugh. So well done on that social media post.
At James Jimmy Jim.
Yeah.
On X.
That was great.
Takes the Linehan 4th and 19 fake punt. And all of a sudden, it's an unforgettable touchdown run with a uniform change mid-play, no less.
We don't need to get into the details of this. You saw the highlight, okay? That's how the highlight played out.
Well, Johnny's fast, man.
See, that Johnny's like, see, I told you this whole time. It was never as bad as you thought it was.
I think Johnny's response was, yep, that's how I remember it. Oh, such a fun trend. Well done. Well done.
I love the
creativity of so many elite BYU fans. All rise and shout. We're throwing darts in what's trending.
I do think it will be a challenging season to be able to become bowl eligible. I don't think it's going to be easy or a cakewalk by any means.
You've got to still find a way to get to 6 if they couldn't do last year.
And if they don't get the 6th win, it will be disappointing.
One of the clear targets on the dartboard for BYU football this season certainly is that 6-win mark and BYU getting back to bowl eligibility, because, you know, if you missed it last year, the Cougars couldn't close the deal against Oklahoma or Oklahoma State and finished 5-7 on a 5-game losing streak, thus no bowl game. So following a losing season, Jason, how picky will you be about which potential bowl game BYU could play in?
All right. Please, 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 please don't be picky. Please just be happy if and when this team gets to 6 wins, okay?
So you're not going to be picky at all.
No, and I am, I am a super picky person, specifically with food. Like, it's a real problem, okay? So I get being picky, okay? You and I believe this team is more than capable of getting to 6 wins and being bowl eligible. Now, that is not a sentiment that is shared by those who like to put out the certain prognostications. Mm-hmm. They do not believe BYU is a bowl team, that they will reach 6. So you and I think they can and should and likely will get to the 6 wins. But the rest of the country does not think that. So if BYU is able to get to that 6 wins, that's the accomplishment. Don't, please, do not start saying, well, we should be in it. No, the accomplishment is getting to a bowl game.
But it's a better matchup. It's a better, warmer location.
Please don't do that. Please don't do that.
You and I have talked about this offline. It's like the kid when they turn 16 that gets a car. It might be a 1984 Nissan Sentra with 212,000 miles on it that's got rusted out light blue paint, but it's still a car.
But Dad, I have to manually roll down the windows.
It's still a car for a 16-year-old kid. Like, don't be that entitled brat that's not thankful for having a car when you turn 16. It's a great thing. Just embrace it for what is. Listen, in terms of the bowl game, Jason, I'm ready to become the president of the Shreveport Tourism Council.
Okay? And you had a horrible experience.
Twice there. All times I went to Shreveport were miserable. Got COVID one time and then had to watch BYU lose in the Independence Bowl. I'm ready to go back.
You were going and you were touting.
Let's go. Bossier City, Louisiana. Bossier City, Shreveport, Louisiana. Whatever. If that's what it is, I'm ready to fully embrace that.
So I reiterate, the accomplishment will be going to the bowl because that showing progress off of last year and certainly proving people wrong. And look, we're saying just getting to six. That doesn't mean you have to stop at six. Just getting to making sure that you get the six wins.
Yes.
If you can blow past six, great. We all certainly hope that's the case. But the accomplishment is getting to the bowl game. Whichever bowl game you go to will show improvement.
Yes. If it's the Independence Bowl, I'm all in.
Yeah.
Let me drive there in the 1984 Nissan Sentra. I'm all in, Jason. I just want a car.
Look, it's fine.
We all want, would be great to have a nicer vehicle or a nicer bowl game. Yeah. Naturally, it would be amazing.
It's like my 13-year-old, who obviously is far from, you know, a couple years away from, he's like, Dad, I want my first car to be a Tesla.
First, all he wants to do is make the college football playoff.
I'm just saying, there's not a chance in the world that's happening. So
get a job and save money for 3 years straight, and maybe you can afford like three car payments.
My kids, they know the max on what they're going to get in terms of the price of the car they're getting. It is not even going to, that may not even make it to the payment on a Tesla.
Sure. So. 6-6, it's a car, right? If BYU 7-5, or if they somehow stunned everybody and doubled up on the expectation win total from some of the experts in the desert and got to 8 wins, then yeah, it would be sweet to ride around in a newer car that's got some options and a sunroof and is power everything. Of course, we all want better, but do not be upset. Like, I can't in good conscience be picky at this juncture, knowing how difficult the schedule is that lies ahead, everything that BYU has gone through, all of the question marks, and then the 5-game losing streak to end last season at 5-7, it's just take that clear step forward and get to 6. So I'm with you. I can't be picky, though it would be fantastic to play in the Snoop Dogg Bowl game, right?
That would actually be pretty cool.
Especially after his Olympic run. He's been awesome.
He was already upper echelon of celebs in terms of notoriety and who people know him. If he was global before, this is like another level of global.
Yes. And let's consider a little bit of history in the mentality that Jason and I are sharing in Studio B.
And this bodes well for BYU.
Yes, it does. Our stat of the day.
It's the BYU Sports Nation stat of the day.
Since BYU's first ever bowl game appearance back in 1974, BYU has only missed bowl games in consecutive seasons one time. It was a span of 02 to 04. They missed a bowl game 3 years in a row. It got a head coach fired and Gary Croton ushered in the Bronco Mendenhall era, but it hasn't happened in back-to-back seasons ever since. So yes, to your point, Jason, this bodes well for BYU. Can the Cougars keep that streak alive where they do not miss bowl games in consecutive seasons and beat the odds? Because the odds right now are saying that BYU is not going to a bowl game for a second straight season.
Well, and we've heard in all of your interviews, I think you were talking yesterday, the interview that we ran with Aaron Roderick, and he's talking about how people playing with that chip on their shoulder. Yes. They hear everything that's going on out there. And absolutely, they want to blow past that projection of 4.2 or 4.3, whatever the win total was.
Oh, yeah.
They want to blow right through that. And they're going to have opportunities. Because we talk about the schedule, and yes, it's certainly one of the toughest in the Big 12. The good news for BYU, with the exception of the game at Utah, which is on the road, you get all of these Big 12 teams, big, tough power teams in Provo.
Win some games at home.
Win some games at home. You will have an opportunity to make everybody else look silly for doubting you. You will have that chance.
Make the statement on August 31st. Make us believers. Make a statement against Southern Illinois. And when BYU goes to a bowl game, win.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
We're road tripping in whatever car they'll let us have.
Jason. We're getting an AMC Pacer is what we're getting. We're gonna
with an 8-track.
With an 8-track. Again, no power anything, including power steering, so that's going to be fun. But it doesn't matter.
To the Bee Gees on our 8-track road trip into wherever
you could do a lot worse than the Bee Gees in an AMC Pacer driving to a bowl game.
Our question of the day following a 5-7 season for BYU football. How picky will you be about which potential bowl game BYU plays in this year? At BYU_P5 on X Answers. One of the awesome things about being in a P4 conference like the Big 12 is that nearly all of the affiliated bowl games are awesome. Any bowl games that BYU gets will be better than the typical Potato or New Mexico Bowl. I wouldn't even care. Send me back to Albuquerque or Boise.
Let's go.
I do not care.
I love potatoes. Love them.
I would stand in 23-degree weather in Albuquerque in mid-December again.
Yeah.
It was frigid. But I would happily take it if that were the case. At Ames_Flames on X Answers, any bowl game greater than times 5, no bowl game.
Yes.
100%. Hashtag BYUSN on social media to join the conversation.
All right, let's stay with football, but move to the pros. NFL preseason is now underway. We've got a very large slate of games this weekend. Had two last night, several tonight, a lot on Saturday, and then
awesome.
On Sunday. A lot of former Cougars participating in camps. A lot should be on rosters come the regular season. So which BYU Cougar in the NFL will you be watching the closest during the preseason?
This was an easy answer for me, and maybe it feels like a little bit of a cop-out answer, but I'm all in on Zach Wilson in Denver because I feel like his preseason games and the reps that he gets there are going to be way more meaningful than several other BYU players in the NFL. Not saying he's more important. I just think it's going to largely determine what he is going to do for the Denver Broncos in 2024. And so I'm all in on him. Polarizing figure in the football world. So many haters still. But yet we see highlights popping up from him over the past few days from Denver Broncos camp where Zach Wilson is the only quarterback of the three to throw a touchdown pass in 7-on-7. And he threw 3 touchdown passes. His arm looks stronger than ever. He just flicked that ball 60 yards, made it look super easy. Zach Wilson has the innate talent. And I'm excited to watch what he can do when the lights are on. Because there will be pressure. He knows. There's pressure on him to perform in these preseason games. Yeah. And so I'm dialed in on Zach at the quarterback position. I would love for him to perform well and make it a little more complicated on Sean Payton and company to maybe consider playing him some this season.
Okay, I'm going to get to Zach in a second. My answer is probably not going to shock anybody. The player that I'm going to be paying the closest attention to is Kingsley Suamataia. For many reasons. The biggest is he plays for my team.
The Chiefs.
He plays for the Chiefs. He is going to be integral in keeping my guy Patrick Mahomes safe.
He's the blindside protector.
Absolutely.
For the MVP front runner.
So that answer was easy for me. I'll be watching every game that they play in the preseason. So that's my answer. I do want to shift though to what you were talking about with Zach, because I think in all, that's probably the right answer for most.
Sure.
For all of the reasons that you mentioned. Yeah. And this is an opportunity for Zach to prove a lot of people wrong. We saw that in the unofficial depth chart, he was listed as the backup quarterback. That's obviously going to fluctuate from week to week in the preseason, as it has to this point already. But a lot is on the line for him, and he has an opportunity, whether it doesn't even have to be for the Broncos. It just needs to be for somebody else in the NFL to realize that this is not a talent issue. Things did not work out in New York, but we all saw the talent. We know what he's capable of doing.
Wasn't he the offensive player of the week in the entire AFC in week 14 last year?
This is not a talent issue with Zach Wilson. it just didn't work out in New York, and there were a myriad of reasons why. And the hope certainly is that he can make it work in Denver, but if it doesn't work with the Broncos,
okay,
all you need to do is to show one team in the National Football League that they need to pay attention to you and give you a contract.
Sure.
That's all. So I agree with you that the overall answer is Zach, but from a selfish standpoint, my answer would be Kingsley Suamataia.
There's a lot of intrigue about some guys that are on the bubble of making rosters too.
Mm-hmm.
And those are naturally interesting for BYU fans. Guys like Dax Milne, who just got picked up by the Las Vegas Raiders. It's late in camp. It's hard to learn an offense this late in camp, but he's a proven commodity to a degree. Sure-handed punt returner and a guy that is precise and has shown that he can learn a playbook quickly. So can Dax get onto a practice squad? Can he perform well in some preseason games to improve the Raiders? How about the Saints in general?
Yeah.
Taysom and Jamal are fun. Don't know how much they're going to play in the preseason. But should you throw in like Samson Nakua now?
Oh, yeah.
And the trifecta of BYU players is once again on the New Orleans Saints. Really fun. And then what the heck is going to happen with Jaren Hall? Is he going to play at all for the Vikings?
Yeah, is he going to be with the Vikings? Is somebody else going to take a flyer on him and bring him into their system?
Yes. Aiden Robbins with the Cleveland Browns. Is he going to be the next Chris Brooks and, as an undrafted free agent, make it in the NFL as a running back?
Yeah, the Max Tooley story for me is very, very interesting with Houston. I think he has a very real chance to make the roster and to actually get time, which would be just awesome for him.
I love that we're here. 24 different former BYU Cougars are on current NFL rosters. 24.
Yep.
How many are going to be at least on a practice squad when the preseason is over? That's what we're looking for. Great stuff.
All right, we've got BYU women's soccer for you tonight. Number 3, BYU hosting Wyoming in their final exhibition match. That is at 7 p.m. Eastern time on the BYU TV app. 9 Eastern time, 7 Mountain on the BYU TV app and ESPN+.
Up next, the first individual silver medalist from BYU in almost 30 years, Kenneth Rooks. Steeplechase U representative joins us from Paris to recap, earning a spot on the podium. He ain't driving no Nissan Sentra. Kenneth Rooks shocks the world yet again, this time winning the silver medal in the Olympics. He is so humble, but he is built differently. Now he has got this defined legacy as an American track and field athlete. We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jason Shepherd. Happy Friday, everyone. And a happy Friday for multiple reasons, including the fact that we get to speak with the man who just created all of those worldwide headlines in the steeplechase in Paris at the Olympics. Kenneth Rooks is back on BYU Sports Nation. Kenneth, great to talk with you again. Welcome back to BYUSN. How would you explain your last 48 hours, my friend?
Man, it's been like a dream. It's been hectic and exciting and overwhelming and awesome. And I've been talking to lots of people. Just trying to take it all in, and it honestly feels like it's been 4 days instead of 2 days, just with everything I've been doing. So it's been fun though. It's been awesome.
Taking Coach Istone out of the mix, because clearly he's probably the biggest superstar, but if you had any celebrities that have come up and congratulated you, if you had any interactions with any of the famous people who you are now a part of, certainly, that are walking around the Olympics?
Well, Carl Lewis gave me a handshake.
Wow.
Before the medal ceremony. So there's that. And then, Snoop Dogg's been around Paris, so it's kind of funny. You don't know when he's going to pop up. He popped up one day when we were practicing at the High Performance Center. But, yeah.
Outstanding stuff. Kenneth Rooks is on BYU Sports Nation. Speaking of Ed Istone, could you hear him, Kenneth? Because he was super loud, but that stadium was super loud.
Yeah, the stadium was super loud. It was awesome. It was an incredible atmosphere. It was probably the loudest stadium I've ever been in.
Wow.
And also, like, a lot of the other athletes I've talked to who've even been to the Olympics before or have competed in some of these other big European meets, they also said, like, the same thing. And so it was electric. I would love to say that I heard Coach Istone, but I heard him in some very small part of that that excitement that everyone had.
Well, we certainly know how the race finished, and we're going to spend a lot of time on that. But take us through the lead up to that. What was your mindset, and what was the goal for you heading into that race?
Yeah, you know, heading into the race, I wanted to get in the mindset where I didn't put any limits on myself, where I could just basically race and give it my all and be happy with the result wherever it was, whether I was going to medal or not. But I did know that medaling was kind of I thought that medaling was a possibility if I was in the right position toward the end of the race. And Coach Istone has thought that for a while, and we talked about that a little bit, but medaling wasn't necessarily the focus going into the race. It was more focused on the process of like, okay, let's just be smart. Let's make good decisions in the race. Put myself in position to be able to respond and make moves late in the race, and just basically trust that if we put ourselves in that kind of position, if it was going to happen, it was going to happen. If it wasn't, it wasn't. Either way, I'd be able to give it my all. And so that was kind of the mindset going into it. And we came up with a few different game plans. And one of them was with the race going out fast, how was I going to respond? And so that's the plan that we executed in the race. And it made me a little nerve-wracking to be running a little bit toward the back. But coach was just like, okay, if they go out hard, just don't go any faster than 65 on that first lap, and don't run any faster than 64s. And so that's what we executed. And then just trying to move up later on in that race to get in the position for that move at the end.
Kenneth, it looked like for a good stretch in that key run late in the last few laps that you had found your way to the reigning gold medalist El Bakkali, and he's known for kind of doing what you just explained, where he kind of comes out of nowhere and then makes this big kick. Was that part of the game plan, to find him and be around him when he made that move, or were you just like doing your own thing and not worried about anybody else?
I was doing my own thing, not really worried about anything else, but the thought went through my head when we were coming up on 600 to go, even 500 to go. I realized I was kind of like right next to him, and I was like, oh, okay, well, El Bakkali's in the same position I am in right now.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. That's awesome. But that was just like a little thought that went through my head, but I was more focused on just running my race. I wasn't keying off of anybody else.
You were in the lead late. What were you thinking then? Because I know you've said you thought you had a real chance at gold. So when you have that lead, take us through what you're thinking and the strategy at that point.
Yeah, well, before the race, like my thoughts were not on the gold. But when I got into a position to make a move at the end of the race, and I moved and I took the lead, I just thought, you know, I have nothing to lose. I'm just going to go for it. None of these, like, we still were all kind of packed up, and so I just went for it. And then when I went for it, I opened up a gap, and I held that gap for actually quite a ways. And before they started catching up to me. And so like when I first took the lead, it was like, oh my gosh, I'm leading this thing in the Olympic final. And then I kept the gap for a little bit, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, are they going to catch me? Like, am I going to win this thing? And then I started to feel them slowly fight their way back behind me. And I was probably looking around a little bit too much on that last lap. I think I was just thinking like, is this actually happening? Is this really happening right now? And so I was looking around a ton, and then they ended up catching back up to me, and I was just fighting as hard as I could to make it to that finish line. And I fight as hard as I could to when Kibi Watt pulled up sideways with me after El Bakkali passed me that last 100 meters to fight for that silver. So
that's something, Kenneth. I'm fascinated by this part, especially in track and field, because you know it's so much about pace, and then at the end that burst and that kick that everybody talks about. And from a mental standpoint, where do you go to find that? Because you were just talking about being in the lead, and then they catch up to you, fall back into third, and even at that point, like, he's gonna medal because it's coming down to the finish line, you know. But then yeah. You found that extra whatever it is to put yourself back in position for the silver. Where do you go to find that when you're absolutely gassed, you have nothing else to give, but yet you find it? Where is that for you?
You know, I think it's just deep inside. I mean, I think I have a great ability to fight and to be competitive. And the energy of the stadium was electric, but really it's just like a decision that I made. I didn't want to finish that race just settling for third. I wanted to finish that race and just go for it and just see where that was going to take me. I just really wanted to finish that race knowing that I had fought and given it everything that I had. And so I think part of it is just feeding off the energy. Part of it is just the determination to just give it everything. But one thing that's nice at that point in the race, like the worst thing is, well, what's the worst thing is going to happen? You know, the lockup fall apart. It's just nice to just be able to dig down and to just give it everything. Mm.
Well, after the race finished, your reaction, wide-eyed in some moments, has gotten quite a bit of attention and is being memed for sure. But
yeah,
what was affecting that reaction the most? Was it the fact that you had beaten your personal best by 9 seconds, or was it, oh my gosh, I just won the silver medal? Was it a combo of things? What's going through your mind in that moment when you got super wide-eyed and that race had just finished?
Well, it was like, oh my gosh, I just won the silver medal. That's what was going through my head. I mean, I looked up at the time, and that did kind of get me too. I was like, oh my gosh, I just ran 8:06. But I didn't just run on 8:06. I ran 8:06 with a really hard close and kick. But it was more like, oh my gosh, I just won the silver medal. This really happened? Like, oh my gosh. And so that's what was going through my head at that time. And when I was putting my hands in my head and had that look on my face.
As special, certainly, as winning the race was, I've got to imagine that everything that followed, and while it may have been a blur at the time, we've seen all the videos of you celebrating with your family, and I know that part of it means just as much to you. What was it like to be able to not only have them there to witness that, but then to be able to celebrate with everybody that has put so much time and effort in supporting you to be there with you?
Yeah, you know, it's incredible. It means a lot to be able to celebrate with them, because I'm not here without them, and they've been a really incredible support to me, and like part of that race. I mean, yeah, I'm the one out there running it, but they have a part in that, and I love and appreciate them, and took me a little bit to find family. My wife was the first person I was able to embrace a family. because they weren't quite down by the finish line when I was going through on my victory lap stuff, but really happy to be able to find them and share that moment with them and share that moment with even the friends and other friends who were there too.
He is the first individual silver medalist from BYU since the great Frank Fredericks 28 years ago. Kenneth Rooks is on BYUSN. 14 months ago, approximately, you became an NCAA national champion in the steeplechase. And then you proceeded to win a couple of other American titles, and now you're a silver medalist. So how would you best describe the last 14 months of your life, Kenneth?
Last 14 months? Well, the last 14 months has been like a whirlwind. I mean, there's been so many things happening in my life, so many life decisions and choices that and events that have happened that have changed my life. I mean, starting from, you know, winning the NCAA championship and then falling and winning the U.S. championship last year. And I started dating my wife last year as well, and we got engaged in October, and I signed a pro contract in January. We got married in February. I was still in school, and then getting ready for the Olympics. It's been a lot of work. There's been a few little bumps. I've had a few injuries. Well, just like little things that have kind of just given me a time where I've had to just slow down a little bit and take care of my body. I've had a few foot things this year, but it's actually been a blessing to have some of those things. Maybe help me peak at the right time so that I wasn't training as hard back in March. And but it's been a whirlwind, but it's been a fun ride. And I'm super grateful that my wife has been a part of that journey. I mean, she's been a part of that journey before I even started, before I was even an NCAA champion. So, and I really appreciate that. And she's been able to see me through this process as well. And as we've both grown together through it. So,
Kenneth, as we now look forward, have you given any thought, or how much thought have you given to the Olympics in 2028 in Los Angeles? Is that a gimme that you're going to be participating in those? What's the mindset in terms of what's next for you specifically with the Olympics in Los Angeles?
Yeah, well, I would definitely not describe it as a gimme. I don't think that like winning USA's this year or winning the trials this year, I had confidence that I could win and that I was really fit. But it was, I didn't consider it a gimme. I don't know if that's the best example, but I wouldn't consider the LA Olympics a gimme. I'm going to have to put some hard work in the next 4 years and be healthy and race well when it matters most. So, but I'm excited. I've thought about, you know, it being on home soil. That'll be really special because I've been able to share this moment with a lot of people from the U.S. And family and friends, but just like with just with everyone, just being here in Paris, it's been fun hearing all the things back home of how people have been a part of it. But being on home soil will just make that even more special.
Kenneth, cannot tell you how proud of you that we all are, and we appreciate the time and just what has been a whirlwind. So thanks for spending some quality minutes with us on BYU Sports Nation. I'm so happy for you. We wish you a second honeymoon at some point as well. You and your wife probably deserve that after everything that has taken place.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate that.
The silver medalist, the great Kenneth Rooks on BYU Sports Nation. Kenneth. Thanks, Kenneth. Oh, how fantastic is that?
He is amazing. And I mean that in so many different ways.
Oh, my goodness.
He's so great. And it's awesome to be able to get him after such a remarkable accomplishment. To be able to get him on the show is awesome. Mm. All right, check out the latest Deep Blue podcast featuring former BYU basketball head coach Dave Rose as he talks about his journey becoming head coach at BYU, battling health challenges, and his own stellar collegiate basketball career. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts.
With all the recent big-time signings by head basketball coach Kevin Young and his staff, have some of the returning players now fallen under the radar? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is, in my heart, an Olympic gold medalist, Jason Shepherd.
That's as close to being an Olympic gold medalist as I'm ever going to be, so thank you.
Let's roll out our daily trivia as we continue our celebration of the 100th season of BYU football. We kind of got the answer right yesterday. Can't quite exactly call it a perfect answer, but we were close. We were close.
Close is not right.
True. We got to be right today. Colton, yes. What's the question today?
All right, sticking with our bowl game theme, BYU football has won the Holiday Bowl 4 times, the Las Vegas Bowl 3 times, and 2 other bowl games twice. What are the 2 bowl games?
The other 2 bowl games that BYU has won twice?
Potato Bowl? They played in that twice?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think it was just the one.
The Armed Forces Bowl with Red Alert, that was the only
time that I remember.
Bowl game, right?
Independence Bowl?
Nope.
No.
The Freedom Bowl? Copper Bowl was one time.
See, Freedom Bowl.
Did they win the Freedom Bowl twice? Maybe.
Yeah. All right. There's 2, right?
Dang it.
Okay, so let's go Freedom Bowl.
Okay.
And then, Poinsettia.
Poinsettia Bowl.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Freedom Bowl and Poinsettia Bowl.
Final answer.
Close, but not correct. Poinsettia Bowl and the New Mexico Bowl.
They've won the New Mexico Bowl twice?
Yes, they beat UTEP in 2010.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
At least we got the Poinsettia Bowl part.
Wasn't that the Luke Ashworth game in 2010?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Jake Heaps.
Jake Heaps, and then Luke Ashworth. He went in as the starter the next year.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
Again, half right. Man. Doesn't count for anything.
I'm
still wrong.
I'm taking it. The answer was right.
Let's get to today's headlines.
All right. Cougars in Paris update. Connor Mance, Clayton Young, and Rory Linkletter race tomorrow in the marathon to wrap up BYU's participation in the 2024 Olympics. Now, Linkletter will represent Team Canada, while Mance and Young will represent Team USA. We will have more on the marathoners coming up in the next segment.
Following an off day from practice, BYU football resuming action in fall camp on Thursday afternoon. And after said practice, defensive coordinator Jay Hill spoke to the media about how the defensive install and all those nuanced things are going.
We got a lot more in. I think we're hitting that point of like saturation where this is about the biggest part of install that we've got. So we got to get better at, you know, knowing all the things that are in on the defense, make sure we're eliminating some mistakes that we're making right now. But overall, I like the effort. I think we're much further ahead than we were last year. This time we just got some stuff to clean up.
I don't think Jay Hill minces words, so take him for what he says. Quarterbacks Jake Retzlaff and Gary Bohannon split the first team reps during media availability in practice. Practice number 8 will be held this afternoon, and tomorrow the team will they will play their first closed scrimmage. Again, closed scrimmage, people. And congrats to Connor Pay, who was named to the Remington Award watch list given to the best center annually in college football.
Number 3, BYU women's soccer was picked to win the Big 12 for the second year in a row in the preseason poll released yesterday. Head coach Jen Rockwood's team received 9 of the 16 first place votes. Allie Fryer was the sole Cougar named to the preseason All-Big 12 team that was also released yesterday. Fryer was an All-Big 12 second team selection last season after starting in 25 of 26 games last year and recording 10 goals and 1 assist. In case you would like to watch this team,
okay,
you can check them out tonight on the pitch. Final exhibition game. It will be played at South Field against Wyoming, 9 Eastern time, and you can watch it on both the BYU TV app and ESPN+.
BYU Swim and Dive announcing their meet schedule for the upcoming season. Notably, they open the season at the Intermountain Shootout in Grand Junction, Colorado. Shout out to the Western Slope on October 4th. KJCT News 8 for life.
A former life for you, right?
Indeed, 3 years in Grand Junction. All right. After the break, BYU teammates turned Team USA teammates Connor Mance and Clayton Young will share their journey from Provo to Paris. In the latest Deep Blue, this is BYU USA. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Studio B. They were teammates at BYU, and now they wear the red, white, and blue together as USA teammates. The path for marathon stars Connor Mance and Clayton Young from Provo to Paris has been anything but easy. Tomorrow, they indeed race for Team USA in the marathon on the world's biggest stage. Let's go, Deep Blue.
Yeah, running found me in fifth grade.
My dad ran a marathon, and I always just wanted to do whatever my dad did.
I was part of a program at my elementary school called the Mileage Club. And every Friday during lunch recess, you could run a lap around the soccer field.
Having a very supportive parent made me wanna, you know, eventually run a marathon, whether at a competitive level or not, but it was always in the back of my mind by the time I was, you know, 12 years old that one day I wanted to run a marathon.
And one of my best friends, he was in the opposite class, and so we became super competitive, right? Like he would go out guns a-blazing every Friday lunch recess, and I would get on his tail, and we'd try to see how many laps we could run. Him and I ended up running over 100 miles that year during Friday lunch recess, and that's when I found out, like, I'm pretty good at running.
When I was a freshman in high school, I read an article about Clayton that was really cool. They passed out these little magazines at the state meet, and there was one talking all about Clayton and all the great things he had done as an athlete and as a student at American Fork High School. And I was like, this guy's the man, like he seems to do it all.
I then went on a mission and I came back and Connor was the guy. Like he was not only one of the best guys in the state, but one of the best guys in the nation. And as I joined the BYU team, we were all talking about Connor Mance and how we could recruit him to come run for BYU.
And my senior year, I finished the state championship for track, and I see Clayton, he's running for BYU. I say, hey, dude, like, you inspired me in high school, and it was just kind of fun to meet, you know, somebody I looked up to, and even though it was such a brief moment.
Connor had a lot of options. He was, you know, like I said, dominant on the national level, and so a lot of schools wanted Connor to run for him. And so I remember going to the state meet and watching Connor race, and with the whole BYU team, you know, we all approach Connor and we're all trying to play it cool. Like, we're all like, hey, Connor, nice race. Like, we'd love to have you on the team, but like we didn't want to be, you know, fangirling too much. But then he left on a mission, right? And he came back in 2017, and that's when we first became teammates.
Clayton was one of the team captains with another guy who just qualified for the Olympics. And so I came to BYU at a time when we had great leadership and some great athletes to kind of lead us, but also great mentors.
Connor and I have a lot in common. We both are from small towns. We both ran a lot in high school and fell in love with running. We both then served missions right out of high school and served the Lord, and that was pretty special. We both have, you know, a high commitment to living the gospel and keeping each other accountable.
I don't even understand their friendship all the way because I miss so much of it. I don't run their pace. I am not there for all of their conversations. I don't get to see all of those reps that they do and all the cold runs and the hot runs and the time in the sauna, right? Like they are just together doing such extreme things so often, right? Like that just creates such a bond.
We love to talk about the gospel in our personal settings, in our conversations on runs. We love engineering. We both were engineers at BYU and can nerd out and geek out, but we're also very different.
I think Clayton does take it in a more engineering way where it's very mechanical. And I've realized that Connor has taken it a little more of an intuitive and almost artsy way in their strengths and benefits of both.
On the bus ride to the start line in 2024, I was doing everything I could to stay present. And one of the things that I did is I just whipped out my phone and I just pulled up the talk by President Nelson about thinking celestial. And I started reading that because I was like, well, if there's one thing that I can do during this race, it's like, okay, what can I do to think celestial? And that kind of seems ambiguous, obscure. Like, how do you do that in the middle of a marathon? But I just knew that there was something beyond myself. But I feel like there were several moments throughout the race where I was able to think celestial and be literally guided to not only help myself get to the finish line, but to help others.
You got 6 bottles in the Olympic Trials Marathon. At mile 2, I go to grab my first one, which is arguably the most important one.
I see him go to reach for his bottle,
and it flips around my finger and flies probably 15 yards to the other side of the road.
And so then I see him turn over his right shoulder, and he makes direct eye contact with me.
So I went to him and asked if I could just drink whatever he wasn't going to drink. So I just drink as much as you need, but then anything you're just gonna throw away, like, can I have it?
Connor was my biggest competitor. If I really didn't believe that both of us could make the team, then absolutely I should have just withheld my bottle from him. So I drink about half my bottle and then I give the other half to Connor.
It meant a lot because those are the little things that help you during those last miles in the marathon.
Clayton knew he'd be the best athlete that he could be if he had Connor at his side, not just on the start line in Paris, but every day until the start line in Paris. Like, Connor brings something out in Clayton that Clayton knew he needed in order to show up as the best version of himself. I think that shines a light on, like, the strength that they draw from each other.
We've run over 10,000 miles together, and that's quite a bit of time. Let's say we're running 7-minute miles, and between walking, talking, lifting is probably even more, but, like, that's 70,000 minutes together of being awake and conscious and talking. And it's just really, really special to cross the finish line together.
I don't know that there is a better partnership out there. And again, it really does boil down to your ego, you know, making sure that you don't get too wrapped up in the day-to-day, you know, who's beating who in workout, or that you just realize that there is good that comes from working together.
Running by yourself is really hard. And so I think that these two have an advantage that the others don't. And so it's become almost a sacred kind of friendship.
And you better believe that in the back of my mind that I have this dream, this goal to get a medal. Anything is possible, especially on a hot, humid, hilly course in Paris where it's gonna take not only the toughest mind and the toughest body, but also the one that's prepared the most. I'm excited to do that side by side with Connor. I know he has very much the same mentality, and we are keeping each other accountable and motivating each other to reach that.
I cannot wait to watch them run in the marathon and see what they can do to push each other as teammates, of course, with their BYU ties and now running for the red, white, and blue. They're just a unique brand.
What a great relationship. And you heard them talk about it, but their wives, that they need each other. They push each other to be the best version of themselves that they can be. Ah. And now Team USA is going to be able to reap the benefits of that.
Inspiring,
yes,
to say the least, what they do and have done. After the break, how picky will you be about a potential bowl game for BYU football this season? Do you even care where it is or who they play? It's BYU SN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to a Friday edition of BYU SN. Following a 5-7 season for BYU football, how picky will you really be about which potential bowl game BYU plays in if they get to one this year? Swooshlash59 on Instagram says, Snoop Dogg Bowl or nothing. Okay. Snoop Dogg Bowl vote.
What are the gifts going to be for that bowl game?
I have no idea. Our Elite Voice of the Day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. This is well played. Saturday's Warrior on X says, me, after BYU qualifies for literally any bowl game. And it's Kenneth Rooks with his hands on his head in shock after winning the silver medal.
Well played.
Good stuff. Today's Rise and Shoutouts presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about we give it to the marathoners? Connor Mance, Clayton Young, obviously with Team USA, and former Cougar Rory Linkletter also participating for Team Canada.
It was cool to see all three of them running together in the Deep Blue special we just showed you on BYU Sports Nation.
Yeah, it's a very tight-knit group, to say the least.
Yeah, will the United States Canadian rivalry show itself in the marathon? Rory representing Canada. It doesn't matter. They're all BYU.
They're all BYU
Cougars. We love them all.
We're going to be happy either way.
Two medals already.
I know.
You're going to see a third
for BYU
cool. this year?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Don't count out these guys.
No.
Our thanks to today's guest, Kenneth Rooks.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and on Facebook.
For Jason Shepherd, I'm Spencer Linton. Shout out to another great marathoner, Jared Ward. BYU Essen returns live on Monday. Have a great weekend and go Cougs!